her head and flew towards the worm. It smashed into the street and obliterated the worm, along with the zombies surrounding it. The red light in Linda's eyes gradually dimmed as more and more hornless demons were torn apart. Her eyes reverted to their original color when there were four infected demons remaining. She shot a glance at Tina as another ice hammer smashed into a worm by her feet. Tina nodded in Linda's direction and signaled her group to advance from the roof. A flash of light in the distance caught her attention. Dustin and Mina were leading a group of armed demons fighting through the zombies to the red orb in the sky. A worm burst out of one of the remaining infected demons and lunged towards Lindis, but it was caught in midair by a black tendril. A fireball formed in Lindis' hands and incinerated the worm. The last infected demon let out a cry and charged towards her. Its movements were stopped by the tendrils, but the worm flew out of its body, avoiding them completely. Lindis leapt back while forming a wall of fire in front of herself. Her eyes opened wide as a winged figure materialized behind the lunging worm. Stella.
Stop!
Silence! Stella pointed at Lindis and said one word before her body disappeared again, leaving behind a tinkling laughter. The flames on the floor fizzled out, and Lindis swung her left arm to stop the worm. She let out a cry as it pierced into her flesh instead of being knocked away. Her skin bulged as the worm wriggled in her arm, climbing towards her shoulder.
"Cut it off!"
Tina yelled. A member of Swirling Wind released a blade of ice that flew towards Lindis and severed her arm mid-bicep. Her arm thrashed around on the floor, but wriggling could still be seen as the head of the worm continued to crawl up her shoulder and towards her heart.
"Too slow!"
Tina said, as she gritted her teeth and materialized an ice spear above her head. It flew towards Lindis and pierced through her shoulder blade, striking the wriggling bump and emerging from the other side with the worm's head attached to it. The Swirling Wind members released their breaths at the same time. A roar resounded throughout the city.
"Auntie!"
Tina's face paled at the winged figure with bloodshot eyes charging towards their group.
"Heal her,"
she said towards the white-robed demon in her group. "The rest of us, hold him off!" The robed figure nodded, and the rest of the party dashed forward to intercept Fur. Their knees buckled as Fur approached, and one of them gasped from the sudden increase in gravity. Tina narrowed her eyes, and her robe released a white light that illuminated the whole city for a brief moment, causing the pressure to disappear. A giant ice hammer swung from behind Tina's back and smashed into Ver, who had been blinded, knocking him off into the distance. Tina grinned. That felt really satisfying. A few moments later, the area she knocked Ver into exploded. Tina's party squinted their eyes and braced themselves as a shockwave passed through them. A translucent, golden dragon appeared with its head towering above the highest building. It opened its mouth and let out a roar that decimated everything in the path towards Tina. Half a dome of earth erupted from the ground and sheltered the group from the blast.
"I think you made him mad,"
the woman who summoned the bulwark said. Linda's eyes flickered as a white light enveloped her body. She whispered,
"Fur." "He awoke?"
She shivered as the hole in her collarbone squirmed shut. She frowned at the white-robed demon who was chanting with her eyes closed.
"Why are you helping me?"
The demon's eyes opened. She stopped chanting and said, "Tina's orders." Her gaze roamed along the ground.
"Where's your arm?"
Lindis grimaced as she sat up. She turned towards the area where her arm had fallen.
"It must have been blown away by one of the aftershocks," she said,
as her head turned towards the five demons fighting Ver. They launched spells against the translucent golden dragon and raised earthen shields to hamper its movements. Every time the dragon was hit by a spell, the region of impact distorted, and the dragon shrank by a tiny amount. Ver was floating in the heart of the dragon with his eyes closed. Lindis cupped her good hand around her mouth and yelled,
"Ver, stop! I'm all right!"
The dragon's movement stopped for an instant before continuing to assault the demons.
Its tail swept through the air and crashed against a wall of earth, shattering it. Lindis bit her lower lip and tried to stand, but the demon next to her put a hand on her shoulder. She smiled and shook her head.
Let them handle it, she said. We need to find your arm.
Ver's more important than my arm, Lindis said with a hiss as she knocked the demon's hand away. I need to stop him before the imprint consumes him. You don't understand how dangerous it is to awaken a bloodline without guidance.
You're right, the white mage said.
I don't understand the danger. However, I do know you're out of mana after fighting against 20 infected by yourself. I also know that one of the parasites is still alive in your arm, and we have no idea where it is.
Its head was cut off and impaled by an ice spear.
The only way to kill one of those parasites is to pulverize its whole body, or disintegrate it, the demon replied. Cutting off its head will only create 2 new parasites. You're in no shape to fight right now. Trust me, my team can stop a child, although we will expect some payment for this.
The demon smiled as she cocked her head to the side.
Shouldn't be a problem for a dungeon owner, right?
Delphina!
A voice shouted from behind the 2 women. The white-robed demon turned around and blinked.
Dustin, Delphina said.
You always show up at the right times.
Dustin and Mina approached the 2 with an assortment of armored demons behind them. Their bodies tensed upon seeing Lindis.
What's the situation? Dustin asked as he tightened his grip on his staff, his gaze drawn toward Lindis' arm stump.
A parasite from fuselage is missing along with her arm, Delphina said, indicating towards Lindis. Have the guards search for it and let me know when they find it. Under no circumstances are they to approach the arm by themselves.
Dustin nodded and faced the armed demons behind him.
You hurt the woman.
The guards glanced at the golden dragon before nodding.
A few let out sighs of relief as they dispersed. A small figure appeared next to Lindis and tugged her good arm.
Auntie, what's happening to Ver?
Tuffle! Mina shouted. Why are you here? I told you to stay at the shelter.
Tuffle hid behind Lindis and peered at Mina.
I followed you,
she mumbled.
What?
Mina inhaled deeply and held out her hand.
Come with me. We'll go somewhere safe.
Tuffle flinched and held on to Lindis' leg. Her lips quivered and her eyes grew wet as she shook her head. Lindis placed her hand on Tuffle's head, running her fingers through the child's hair.
Ver's awakening right now.
That means?
Dustin asked. The bloodline in his imprint is activating. Bloodlines usually awaken at a certain age. It takes longer, depending on the strength of the beast behind the imprint. At least for elves, Lindis said with a frown.
I thought he had more time.
Isn't awakening normal, then?
Yes, but elves are guided by their elders. A little bit of power is released at a time, Linda said as she gestured towards Ver. Not all at once. His mind could break if we don't suppress the dragon aura in time. He's already unconscious. We have to weaken it to get close enough to wake him.
I can wake him up, Tuffle said with a trembling voice. He'll listen to me.
Absolutely not, Mina said as she approached Tuffle.
Tuffle stepped backwards as tears leaked from her eyes.
Why? Why do you pretend to care? She screamed. You never cared before. Never listened to me. I hate you so much.
Her horns flashed green as she swung her arm outwards. A wall of wind roared into life and knocked the 4 adults over before they could react. She dashed towards Ver, leaving behind a blurred trail of green as she ran. A black tendril flew towards Tuffle from Linda's shadow, but fell short before reaching her.
Not enough mana, Linda said, as she ground her teeth together.
Tuffle! Mina yelled as she scrambled to her feet. Tina, stop her!
A thick sheet of ice smashed against the golden claw, swiping towards Tina. She looked behind herself and frowned at the green blur running in her direction. Another crash resounded, and flecks of ice sprinkled down from the sheet.
Catch her! I'll sell him!
One of the demons behind her said. Her face was pale, and sweat soaked through her blue robe.
A wall of light appeared behind the sheet of ice, and Tina nodded as she dashed to intercept Toffle. Toffle tried to maneuver around Tina, but Tina stuck out her arm and knocked her to the ground with a tackle.
"Fur!"
Toffle yelled, as she squirmed in Tina's grasp. The translucent dragon shuddered and stopped. Tina opened her mouth in surprise and blinked at Toffle while relaxing her grip. Another crash resounded, and the wall of light shattered as the golden tail slammed against it. The blue-robed demon shuddered and fell to her knees while vomiting. A golden shadow covered her figure as Vur's claw descended from above.
Before it could smash her into pieces, a white fireball flew towards it and exploded, causing the claw to disperse.
The golden aura around Vur's body shrank as a new claw formed in the air above the demon. Toffle slipped out of Tina's grasp and ran in front of the kneeling demon. She spread her arms out to the side and glared at the dragon.
"You promised you wouldn't hurt me,"
Toffle said, her voice shaking as her body trembled. Tina dashed towards Toffle. Mina screamed. The claw descended. A yellow blur charged out of thin air and pushed Toffle away. Her eyes widened as she flew to the side, watching the claw slash downwards at the fairy. Yella smiled as she gazed into Toffle's eyes.
"Sorry."
Blood splattered. Toffle crashed onto her side, her eyes wide open. Her already pale face was whiter than a sheet, and her mouth hung open. She tried to speak, but nothing came out. Her gaze was locked onto Yella's figure underneath the translucent golden claw. Her stomach churned, and a lump formed in her throat as Tina lifted her and retreated. Blood radiated outwards from Yella's body and dispersed into the claw, tinging the golden aura black. The blood coalesced into a miniature fairy, which streamed through the dragon and swirled around Vur's floating body before disappearing inside him. The dragon trembled as Vur's eyes flickered open. He furrowed his eyebrows and took in the scene in front of himself. His feet dangled in the air, and he lowered his head. A frown appeared on his lips before his body plummeted to the ground as the dragon aura fell onto its belly. The aura shrank as its claws dug into the ground. It roared and strained its neck away from Vur's body as if it wanted to escape. A constant flow of information overwhelmed Vur's senses as the aura condensed, leaving a trail of claw marks on the ground before vanishing. Vur gasped and turned his head toward Yella's desiccated corpse.
Yella?
Vur said. His body trembled as he attempted to push himself off the ground. He managed to sit up before his body convulsed. His hands flew to his head, grabbing his hair as blood poured from his nose. Inside his pupils, an image of a golden dragon thrashed against his irises. The swirling wind members glanced at each other and retreated backwards one step at a time, keeping their gazes fixed on Vur. Tina approached Mina and placed Toffle into her arms. Tears streamed down Mina's cheeks as she hugged Toffle to her chest. "What's happening to him?" Tina asked Lindis. Lindis frowned as she approached Vur. "The fairy sacrificed her soul to save Vur's," she said, crouching over Yella's body, staring into her empty eyes. She lowered her hand and closed Yella's eyelids with her fingers. "He isn't mature enough to handle the instincts of a dragon." A sigh escaped from Linda's lips as she approached Vur's convulsing body. She lifted his chin with her hand and frowned. The dragon in his eyes seemed to notice her and stopped thrashing as it glared back.
"Auntie," Vur whispered, "I'm scared."
Linda stroked his hair and leaned forward. "Don't worry," she said as she tilted his head back. Her lips touched against Vur's, and his body shone with a golden light, which dimmed as time passed. The spectating demons let out little coughs and turned their heads away. Lindis pulled herself back, and Vur's chin drooped to his chest as Lindis' hand released his chin. His eyes closed as Lindis lowered him to the floor. Her body spasmed as she coughed out a mouthful of black blood and grimaced. She crossed her legs and sat beside Vur. Two auras leaked from her body, one gold, one purple. They clashed and swirled against each other, neither side gaining an advantage. Dustin approached Tina and asked, "What do we do? Take them prisoner? Where's Zolstock when you need him?"
Zolstak's dead, Tina said, voice flat. Chad killed him.
Dustin froze. What? He asked, his voice cracking. You can't be serious.
Tina sighed. Chad lost a fight against that dragon boy. You know his ego.
She rolled her eyes.
Zolstak questioned his strength, so he decided to show him how strong he actually was.
Dustin's eye twitched. The royal family is going to execute him, he said, glancing towards the airship in the sky. Purple crossed horns were painted on both sides.
Tina followed Dustin's gaze. I think it's going to be the other way around, she said, and shook her head. Her eyes narrowed. They were experimenting with live parasites from fuselage.
The things that killed Josephine?
Tina nodded. Dustin's face hardened. The airship floated in the sky, unmoving. Then, as the two watched, the bow of the ship dipped downwards.
Took him long enough, Tina muttered as the ship plummeted. He could have finished faster and helped us fight that dragon. Chad boarded the ship?
Tina grunted an affirmation. A low rumbling roar brought their attentions back onto Lindis. The golden aura was now circling around her foot, forced down by the purple aura. A miniature dragon head formed and dispersed repeatedly as a purple bat head chased after it, nibbling it and slowly eroding the golden aura. Lindis' breathing was shallow, her aura visibly diminished compared to the one she showed during her fight against the infected ones. Metal clanked as an armed demon ran over to Dustin. The demon saluted and said,
"We found a severed arm. My partner is keeping an eye on it. We did not engage as per orders."
Dustin nodded.
"Lead the way."
Tina raised an eyebrow, but her face darkened when she realized Lindis was still missing an arm. She glanced at Delphina, who nodded back. The two followed Dustin and the armed demon.
"It's right ahead," the armed demon said.
A scream rose into the air, and the three following demons dashed forward, surpassing the armed demon. They arrived in time to see another guard clawing at his own face. Multiple smaller worms were burrowing into the ground. A sword, stained with green blood, lay on the floor beside the guard.
"Damn it!"
Tina said while growling. She raised her staff into the air and chanted. Delphina grabbed Dustin and dragged him back.
"She's casting Absolute Zero," she said, and bit her lower lip. "Let's hope she finishes before any parasites escape. It'll be a disaster to the whole continent if one of them does."
Her eyes drifted to the multiple holes in the ground. Dustin nodded and placed his hands to the ground. Lines of fire snaked from his fingers and dove into the holes left behind. Delphina clasped her hands together, and a barrier formed around herself and Dustin. 20 seconds passed before Tina stopped chanting. She slammed the bottom of her staff against the ground, causing a blue sphere of light to flash through the area. Everything the light touched stopped moving, and a layer of ice formed on every surface. The armed demon who led the way arrived just in time for the blue light to wash over him, creating a beautiful ice sculpture.
"Shatter!"
Tina shouted, and slammed her staff against the floor again. Cracks formed along the ice before it disintegrated. The two frozen guards disappeared into a myriad of ice crystals, leaving no trace behind. Buildings and trees disintegrated, turning into tiny puddles of water. The ground beneath her caved in, leaving behind a crater with no trace of the worms or any of their holes. Delphina's barrier faded away, revealing her and Dustin, both unharmed.
"I think she got them all," Delphina said, surveying the area.
Tears streamed down Rella's and Bella's cheeks as they sat underneath a dome of mist beneath a tree.
"We should have stopped her,"
Rella said in between snipples. Bella nodded and sobbed harder. Stella sighed as she rubbed her children's backs. Her body tensed, and she frowned at the ground. She turned around and slammed her fist against the grass. The earth split open, and a worm, leaking green blood, flew up into the air, trapped by a purple bubble of mana. Stella waved her hand and the bubble drifted onto her palm. She murmured,
"What have we here?"
28.
Lindis groaned as her eyes flickered open. She winced as she sat up and placed her right hand against her forehead. She reached with her left to rub at her eyes, but it wasn't there. Her body stiffened. Her eyes widened as she looked around, taking in the surroundings. She was sitting on a bed in a white room with no windows. A chain led from her left leg to the wall, and mana-dampening runes decorated every inch of the room. Vir was lying unconscious on a bed adjacent to hers, his body bound tightly with metal. Chad was sitting on the floor to the right of her, with his back leaning against a metal door. His spear was propped up beside his body. Chad tilted his head to the side.
"Finally awake? Sorry about the arm. Tina destroyed it on accident."
Lindis glanced at her residual limb and nodded.
"It's easy enough to fix. No worries. How long was I out?" "About a week."
Chad tapped his spear against the door without sitting up.
"Tell Dustin she's awake," he said.
Footsteps echoed from outside the room.
"How's the basilisk doing?"
Linda smiled.
"Pretty good. He's a nice guard. The only person I've been bothered by the whole time since I've had him was Vir.
He might be getting fat, though," she said, and frowned.
"The civilians of Konigreich pamper him and feed him too much."
Chad chuckled as he stood up and stretched.
"You're not going to ask about your situation?"
"I have the general idea. How bad's the damage?" The door swung open, and Dustin, along with Tina and Toffel's grandmother, stepped into the room.
"About 25% of the city is completely destroyed, while another 40% is damaged in some shape or form. A lot of people have died, but we don't have an exact number. There's not enough volunteers to help out,"
Toffel's grandmother said as she narrowed her eyes at Lindis.
"Everyone's afraid the dead aren't actually dead."
Lindis scratched her nose and nodded.
"Not only that," Toffel's grandmother said, "but every member of the royal family on Zolstock's side has gone missing. The only ones left are my grandchildren, and the ones related to Mina by blood."
Lindis raised an eyebrow.
"That wasn't me," she said.
Tina's eyes flickered towards Chad.
"Don't look at me," Chad said and shrugged. "I only killed 8 of them."
Toffel's grandmother's eye twitched as she glanced at Chad.
"You really shouldn't say things like that out loud," she said and sighed. "Luckily for you, my hearing seems to get worse the older I get."
She turned back towards Lindis.
"I'll be straightforward. Why did you attack us?"
Lindis frowned.
"I came here to retrieve Vir. Unfortunately, I ran into the Fairy Queen and lost a fight against her. She put the Berserk curse on me, and I accidentally destroyed your capital. Of course, reparations will be paid in full."
"The Fairy Queen? Why would she be in Niffle?" Tina asked.
Lindis tilted her head.
"She's been locked away in your mana source. You didn't know?"
The demons glanced at each other before shaking their heads. Linda shrugged.
"Then it was most likely kept as a secret by the throne," she said and paused. "She's probably the one responsible for the disappearance of the royal family."
"If she was locked away, then how'd she get out?"
Chad asked. Lindis blinked and pointed at Vir.
"I think we should dispose of him," Chad muttered, as he picked up his spear and walked towards Vir. Dustin placed a hand on his shoulder. "You trust me, right?"
Dustin asked,
causing Chad to snort. "Then believe me when I say you shouldn't hurt him."
"Whatever," Chad said,
as he lowered his spear and leaned against a wall. He scowled at Lindis.
"Why'd the queen curse you?"
Lindis smirked.
"We had a little tiff way back when, and she never forgave me.
That woman can really hold a grudge. It's been over 4 centuries.
4 centuries?
Tina asked with a raised eyebrow.
"What did you do, kick her dog?"
Linda's face beamed as she smiled.
"Killed it, actually, but close enough. I also may or may not have betrayed her and sold her off to the demons."
Stella sat cross-legged on a green slime as she giggled at the 30 demons hanging from the ceiling by their feet. She was in a cave with Rella and Bella standing behind her, their eyes downcast and faces pale. The cave was located in a valley teeming with hundreds of fairies, most of which were sunbathing or playing with slimes. The demons were naked, their bones leaving an outline on their skin. Their cheeks were sunken in, and dark bags circled their eyes. Black scabs covered the regions where their nails used to be.
"Isn't this too much?"
Bella whispered to Rella.
"No."
Stella's voice was soft, but the two fairies behind her trembled and flinched.
400 years. 400 years without seeing the sun, living in total darkness. 400 years without food or water. I couldn't even die because of the manna they poured into me through that chain.
Stella gnashed her teeth together and narrowed her eyes at the chains suspending the demons. Stella smiled at them.
Let's play a game. I found one of these worms, and I really want to see what they can do. The 30 of you are going to vote on who gets the worm. The winner will be kept alive as long as possible as I experiment with them.
Rella and Bella shivered. 30 minutes later, a male demon was strapped onto a table underneath all the other demons. The worm floated above him, trapped in a bubble.
"I can tell you everything we know about the worm," he said. "Just please, don't put it inside me."
Stella grinned.
"Speak then," she said,
as the worm thrashed against the wall of the bubble, lunging towards the demon. The demon gulped.
"They're parasites, but they can reproduce and survive without a host. When they infect a host body, the host body becomes extremely resistant to magic. Their ultimate goal is to consume as much mana as possible before reproducing. All the worms are the same level as the parent worm. The smallest piece we've seen grow into a new worm was a tenth of the size of the parent. Thankfully, they're not very strong without a host. We started killing them before they reached level 100. There was one worm that was able to use the host body's spells at level 100, and the next host it infected retained the ability."
Stella nodded and hummed as she drummed her fingers against her knee.
"How resistant is extremely resistant?"
"We don't know the exact numbers, but..."
"Then I guess we'll just have to find out,"
Stella said with a grin. The bubble holding the worm burst.
"Teach me how to fight," Toffle said.
Chad blinked at the kneeling demon princess at his feet.
"No,"
he said, and walked around her. The two were in a hallway of the royal castle near the room holding Lindis. Toffle grabbed his leg.
"Please, please, 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 please!"
"You're annoying. Let go,"
Chad said, as he stopped and pried her fingers off.
"Go ask your mother. I'm not a mage."
"I don't want to use magic," Toffle said as she scrambled to her feet. "I want to learn how to fight with a weapon."
"Are you stupid?" Chad asked as he narrowed his eyes. "You already have 6 horns, and you're not even 10. Your potential for magic is huge."
Toffle bit her lower lip.
"I'm not giving up on magic. I just want to learn how to fight, too."
"Go ask Doofus, then," Chad said as he walked towards a door. "He's teaching at the academy."
"But you're the strongest warrior," Toffle said. "No one's as good as you."
"That's right. I'm the strongest,"
Chad said as he nodded and opened the door.
"The way you use the spear is amazing," Toffle said as she chased after him. "It's hard for me to see it move. And you beat 8 members of the royal family by yourself."
"Of course," Chad said as he smiled. "I've been doing it for years."
Lindis and Tina were sitting in the room talking to each other when Chad and Toffle walked inside. Ver was still unconscious in the bed adjacent to them.
"You're also the most handsome person I've seen," Toffle said as her eyes sparkled. "You look so cool in your armor."
Chad chuckled. "Don't I?"
he asked, as he stuck his chest out and strutted to a chair.
"Creep," Tina said as she rolled her eyes at him.
Chad snorted.
"You're just jealous,"
he said as he sat down.
"You know children always tell the truth."
"Especially when they want something from you, right?" Tina asked, and winked at Toffle.
Toffle's face turned red as she looked away.
"He would have agreed after 1 or 2 more lines of praise," she mumbled.
"What?"
Chad asked as his face snapped towards Toffle.
"You were trying to flatter me into teaching you."
"No, of course not," Toffle said as she shook her head. I meant everything I said, teacher.
Who's your teacher? Chad asked, as he crossed his arms and looked the other way. He sighed. Kids these days. Toffle pouted at Tina.
You ruined it.
Tina smiled at her. Why don't you join Swirling Wind? Ruji is one of the best spellblades out there. You should leave the warrior classes to the simple-minded brutes like our friend here. She gestured towards Chad.
Fight me.
See what I mean? Tina asked. We'll be going back to Fuselage as soon as Lindis returns to the south.
Can I, really?
What about my mom? Toffle asked as her eyes widened.
She has a country to run, Tina replied and grinned.
Don't worry about her. I bet Dustin could convince her. The two seem awfully chummy nowadays.
Toffle looked up and thought about her mother's recent behavior. She smiled a lot more, and her face didn't always look so stern.
Toffle nodded.
When are you going back? She asked, turning towards Lindis.
Sarah should be here soon. I don't know how long it's going to take Ver to wake up. He wasn't ready to awaken the bloodline. It's possible it may take a few years, Lindis said, and sighed. At least I'm still able to control his dreams.
Toffle frowned and approached Burr's bedside. She clasped his hand in between hers and closed her eyes.
I'll get stronger. So strong that you won't be able to break your promise to me. I promise. Just you wait.
Stella hovered over the restrained demon.
Isn't this amazing?
She asked the upside-down demons above her.
It's been over a month and he's still not dead. He's struggling with the same amount of gusto as he was in the beginning. I really want to see how long it'll take for him to break.
She giggled as she prodded the struggling demon with a stick.
I wonder where he gets all this energy from. If he doesn't need to eat, drink, or sleep, then it must be coming from somewhere. Maybe the mana in the vicinity?
She frowned at the unresponsive demons above her. She clapped her hands, and a bolt of electricity struck the chains holding them.
How rude! No one said you could sleep, Stella said as the demons writhed. Tell me, am I right?
The demons wailed as more electricity snaked through their bodies before they fainted again.
Ah, so fragile. Maybe I should remove their eyelids, Stella muttered and shook her head. Guess I'll have to experiment to find out for myself. Rella, get me as many bananary seeds as you can. We're going to plant them around this demon. If the plants closest to it have less mana than the ones further away, then I'll know I'm right.
Rella trembled as she nodded and flew outside. Stella turned towards Bella and smiled.
Isn't learning fun?
Bella gulped and nodded with wide eyes.
I'm glad you agree, Stella said. You want to learn more too, right? Go round up your sisters and get me more bodies. Demons, humans, animals, elves. No, wait. That'd just be saying animals twice. It doesn't matter. As long as they're alive, I want them all. Of course, don't let anyone know fairies are catching people to play with. We wouldn't want to spoil the surprise too early.
Bella shivered and flew outside.
Oh, I'm so excited, Stella squealed as she hugged her shoulders. I can't wait to see the expression on your face, Lindis.
Stella licked her lips and caressed the thrashing demon's cheek. Her horns pulsed with a red light as her eyes turned red. A mixture of sounds escaped from her throat at the same time, creating a strangled, sobbing laughter. Rella froze at the entrance of the cave and trembled as she dropped a seed.
Oh, good, you're back,
Stella said, as she smiled and turned towards Rella. Her horns dimmed as her eyes returned to their normal color.
Let's get these seeds planted now, honey.
29. Sarah rested her head on her paws, staring at Ver, who was lying on a mountain of mana crystals in a tub. A layer of liquid covered his body, but avoided his nose and mouth, allowing him to breathe. Lindis was standing next to him, drawing a rune on his forehead with her left hand that had been restored earlier by Layla. Her right hand held a blue crystal, which emitted rays of light.
I never expected him to awaken so early, Sarah said as she sighed. I should have been there. You couldn't have known, Matriarch, Linda said while shaking her head. The crystal in her right hand stopped glowing, and she picked up another one. Awakening amongst elves can take hundreds of years. I've never even heard of a human awakening after being imprinted. It's possible that his awakening is related to the large quantity of fruits he's eaten from the elves tree. Sarah sighed again and closed her eyes. You're right. Perhaps I'm the only one to blame since I imprinted him, she said. The cave was silent except for the low hum of the crystals as they emitted light. Sarah opened her eyes and blew a puff of smoke at Linda's through her nostrils. Guide him with your dreams. Now that he's awakened, he can't continue playing around without thinking of the consequences. Let him know that his actions affect everyone around him. Help him mature. Linda's clenched her jaw and shivered as goosebumps rose on her skin. I will. Brew was standing in a clear meadow with the sun shining directly above him. He shielded his eyes with his hand and squinted, looking around. The meadow extended past his range of sight in every direction. Where am I? He closed his eyes and frowned. Why can't I remember anything? Fur? A voice from behind him asked. Fur's eyes snapped open and he whipped his head around. Toffle was standing behind him, her head tilted to one side. Are you okay? She asked. You said you needed to pee, but it's been over an hour, so I came to find you. Ver stared at Toffle and knit his eyebrows together. Toffle was holding her skirt with one hand, surrounded by foliage and trees that weren't there a few seconds ago. Her other hand held two round white objects. He turned around and saw more trees. The meadow he was standing in had disappeared, replaced by a rainforest. He lowered his head and saw a body lying underneath his feet. What's that? Toffle asked, pointing at the corpse underneath Burr. Burr shook his head and squatted next to the body. He flipped it over and gasped. Linda's face stared at him with empty eye sockets. Black blood flowed from the corner of her mouth. Burr's chest tightened as he dropped to his knees. Auntie! He shouted and shook her body. He bit his lower lip and put both hands on her chest. Green orbs of light floated around his body and gathered onto his hands. His hands trembled as the light flowed around Lindis before dispersing, unable to enter her body. Why won't it work? Ver shuddered, and black orbs of light flowed from the ground into his hands. They circled around the corpse before entering it. A low groan escaped from Lindis' mouth as she sat up. Her empty eyes continued to stare at Ver, her body unmoving. Auntie, Ver said. As he grabbed her hands, he gritted his teeth and waved his hand in front of her face. Why aren't you saying anything? Why? Tears formed in the corners of his eyes. Toffle, Ver said as he raised his head. Help me, she's not— Ver froze as his gaze locked onto the objects in Toffle's hands. I know, Toffle said as she smiled, rolling the objects around. A pair of purple pupils revealed themselves to Ver as the objects twirled in her hands. Because I did it. Ver's mind blanked as his jaw fell open. His mouth closed and opened a few more times as he tried to speak. Finally, he choked out. But why? Toffle didn't say anything as she grinned at him. You can't hurt me, remember? She asked. Her grin widened. You promised. Kill. Ver's body tensed, and a black aura in the shape of a dragon crawled out of his back. What's the matter? Kill her! The voice of a dragon whispered in his head. Ver shook his head. I can't. Can't or won't. She disrespected you. She disrespected us. You're just going to watch your things being taken from you. If you won't, then I will. The dragon's body coiled around his head and slowly sank into his face. Stop! Ver shouted. His body shuddered as a white-hot pain racked his head. Who are you? I am you. You are me. We are one. The voice rang out in his head. Embrace me and we will be strong. A real dragon. Unstoppable. Ver's vision went black.
When his vision returned, he was lying on his back. The clear blue sky was all he saw, cloudless. Ver groaned and sat up. The ground was wet, and a body lay by his feet. He looked down. Pools of blood stained the ground, originating from a corpse.
"Tafel?" Ver asked with a trembling voice as he reached his hand forward.
His fingers were red and dripping.
"Tafel, please."
His hand touched her shoulder, but her body disintegrated on contact.
"She deserved it."
The black dragon crawled out of his stomach.
"No!"
Ver shouted.
"Why did you do this?"
"Me?
It was you,"
the dragon hissed. And images of Tafel flashed through Ver's head. She screamed and trembled as Ver tore her apart limb by limb.
"You promised,"
she wailed over and over. Ver clutched his head and yelled,
"Make it stop!"
A chuckle echoed through his head.
"What are you crying about? That was just the start. Look around you."
Ver shuddered as his head rose against his will. Sarah lay on the ground, gasping for breath as blood gushed out of her stomach. Grimmy's decapitated head stared at him with accusing eyes. Snuffles lay on his back, unmoving.
"Isn't being a dragon great? Anyone who questions your authority will die. Anyone who even thinks of hurting you will die. You are a king."
"Why?" Ver asked, as his hands dropped to his sides.
"You asked me to," the dragon said as it curled around Ver's body.
"I didn't," Ver shook his head.
"But you did. Every time you feel angry, you ask for my help."
The dragon's tongue flickered in front of Ver's face.
"Don't you understand? You need me."
"No," Ver mumbled as he shook his head.
"But you do."
"No," Ver growled as he grabbed the dragon by the neck and flung it off his body. "No!"
"Then prove it. Prove that you're stronger than me," the dragon said and laughed. "I'll bring them all back to life if you win. If you fail, however..."
The dragon grinned. Ver took in a deep breath. Mana surged through his body, but there was no golden glow in his eyes.
"I'll show you," he said,
and lunged forwards. 10 years later. Wind blew Linda's hair to the side as Grimmy landed beside her. She was sitting next to Ver in an open meadow surrounded by trees made of glowing blue crystals. His body was soaking in a tub of crystal-clear liquid taken from the Fountain of Youth.
"How is he?"
Grimmy asked, as he lowered a basket of crystals next to Ver's body. Ver had grown considerably taller, and his hair reached down past his waist.
"I purified the last portion of aura nearly a year ago," Linda said, as she took crystals out of the basket and rearranged them around the tub. "He should be waking up soon."
She reached for another crystal, but a skeletal hand popped out of the basket, followed by a skull. The skeleton stood up and grinned as crystals rolled off its body. It saluted Lindis before handing her a scroll. Linda sighed as she unrolled the paper and read through its contents. Her eyebrows furrowed, and the scroll burst into flames as she tossed it over her shoulder. Grimmy studied Linda's expression and asked,
"Anything wrong?"
Linda shook her head.
"People are disappearing a lot more frequently. The humans and demons are formally requesting our presence to guard their villages and cities. A whole village disappeared overnight."
Linda sighed.
"That crazy fairy. I wish she would just show herself. She kidnapped nearly 5,000 people over the last decade."
Grimmy nodded.
"What do you think she's doing?"
Linda shrugged. "I know she absorbs all the mana in an area and then moves on. My skeletons found multiple areas with traces of fairies having been there, but everything is dead or dying." She frowned. "I hope Ver would wake up sooner so I can go out there myself." Grimmy arched his back and stuck out his front claws. He yawned and lowered himself onto the ground.
"You're finally healed?"
Linda smiled and nodded.
"It only took, what,
8 centuries?
She asked, as she splayed her fingers out in front of herself. The ground rumbled as Grimmy chuckled.
Give or take 100 years,
he said, and raised an eyebrow.
Was it worth it? Do you ever regret it?
I can't even tell you how many times I've regretted listening to you, Linda said, as she stuck out her tongue at him. She lowered her head. But I think it was worth it.
She raised her head and stared Grimmy in the eyes.
Don't think I'm letting you stick another soul inside me ever again, though. 7 times was enough.
Grimmy's teeth shone in the sun as he smiled.
You sure? I've acquired a lot more in the 200 years you spent at the fountain.
No.
But look,
Grimmy said, as he stuck out his front claw. A white fireball sprang into existence and hovered in the air. A golden halo revolved inside of the fire.
It belonged to one of those blessed heroes of light that the humans are so proud of.
Lindis sucked in her breath.
Where did you get that?
Grimmy laughed and the flame disappeared.
Get what? He asked with twinkling eyes. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Linda snorted and turned back to watch Ver. A few moments passed as Grimmy hummed behind her.
Maybe just one more, she mumbled.
Grimmy's smile widened as he cupped his claw next to his face.
What was that?
He asked.
I couldn't hear you over a fickle person talking.
Linda pouted and whirled herself around to face Grimmy. She opened her mouth to speak, but a white flame smacked her in the face and entered her body before she could react.
You!
Lindis coughed and spluttered.
Couldn't you have at least waited until after Ver woke up?
She clutched her chest and gritted her teeth as her body broke out in sweat. Grimmy chuckled.
Don't worry, he said. I can control dreams too. See?
He lifted his claw and poked Ver in the forehead. Black lines appeared on Ver's head and wriggled underneath Grimmy's claw. He lifted his claw into the air and the lines spread out, crawling along Ver's skin. Ver's body spasmed and floated above the ground. Grimmy scratched the scales on his chin.
Was that soul too strong?
Lindis exhaled through clenched teeth.
Sarah's going to kill both you and me if anything happens to Ver, she said, as Ver's body trembled and twitched.
His muscles expanded and shrank, pulsing in time with his heart. Smoke puffed out of Grimmy's nostrils.
You worry too much, he said. You think I would intentionally harm him? Don't forget I helped raise him.
Linda shuddered and closed her eyes.
That's why I'm worried.
Ver stood with his arms across his chest, staring at the dragon sitting across from him. The dragon aura sat on its haunches with its head lowered.
You did well, it said with its eyes downcast. I suppose I wouldn't mind letting you take control.
Ver nodded.
I've seen everything you can do, learned all your movements, he said.
Just like Auntie taught me. The dragon nodded and shrank its body down to half of Ver's size. It shook its head and sighed as it trudged in front of Ver with its head lowered. As Ver reached down to lift its body up, a black bolt of lightning appeared from the clear sky and struck the aura. It shrieked and shuddered as Ver leapt back and armed himself with lust. The dragon growled as solid black scales grew around its body. A pair of red pupils appeared in its once pitch-black eyes, and multiple rows of white teeth sprouted inside of its mouth. Its body expanded, and a second pair of wings grew out of its lower back, while the tip of its tail curled upwards and flattened into a blade. It stopped trembling once its body grew to the same size as Ver. Ver gazed into the dragon's red pupils and widened his eyes. Dragon disappeared. Ver whirled around while slashing with lust at the same time. The bladed tail struck against the dagger's edge, and Ver's body was sent flying into a tree. He clenched his teeth and let out a hiss as he stood back up, circulating mana through his body. The dragon disappeared and reappeared in front of Ver, its claws slashing towards his chest. Ver stomped on the ground, and earthen spikes shot upwards, impaling the claw and halting its movements. A line of black fire appeared in front of Ver and shot towards the dragon as he swung his arm outwards, mimicking the Cerberus attack from the Naga's arena. The dragon's tail flickered and smashed against the line of fire, dispersing it. It grinned and lunged at Ver with its free claw. Vir inhaled deeply and exhaled a gray cloud of dust as the claw was about to reach his face. The dragon's grin vanished as its body disappeared and reappeared a few meters away. The gray cloud fell to the ground. When it made contact with the grass, the green blades turned to stone. Vir's mind raced as he sifted through the multitude of blue magic skills he had. He stared at the dragon, a wry smile appearing on his lips once he found a suitable skill. The dragon crept in a circle around Vir, its body poised to strike. Vir roared, and a giant roulette wheel appeared above his head with an image of himself and the dragon on it. The dragon shivered and pounced towards Vir while the wheel spun. Vir crossed his arms in front of his body, encasing himself in a sheen of light. The dragon let loose a barrage of attacks, and multiple cuts appeared on Vir's body, but he remained unmoving. He smiled as the wheel slowed. When it stopped, the needle landed on the image of the dragon. The dragon howled as a spectral grim reaper appeared above its head. The dragon disappeared and reappeared, repeatedly, getting further and further away with each successive teleport. The grim reaper stayed in place and raised its bony arm. A suction force yanked the dragon towards the ghastly figure. The dragon whimpered as it struggled in the air, flapping its wings and clawing at the clouds, trying to get away. But it was futile. The reaper waved its scythe once before disappearing. The dragon fell to the ground as its scales fell away and its red pupils disappeared. Its body shrank as the wings on its lower back receded and returned to how it looked before. Vir walked up to the dragon and grabbed it by its neck. He closed his eyes as a burning sensation ran through his arm and into his body as the dragon faded away. A few moments passed in silence as the dragon's body became more and more transparent. Vir opened his eyes. "I told you not to worry," a familiar voice said. Linda snorted. "Welcome back."
"Auntie," Vir whispered. His voice cracked and he let out a dry cough. He swept his tongue through his mouth, trying to moisten it. He struggled to get up, but Linda poked his forehead with her finger and he fell back into the tub. "Drink," Linda said, and placed a goblet against Vir's lips. His Adam's apple bobbed up and down as the liquid flowed down his throat. His torso heated up, and his body tingled as warmth rushed through his limbs.
"Thank you," Vir said. Tears formed in the corner of his eyes as he smiled.
"What?"
Lindis asked as her brow creased.
"I'm happy you're alive," Vir said, as he sat up and hugged her, pulling her against the side of the tub.
Linda's body stiffened, and she blinked a few times before placing her hand on his back.
"Did you shrink, Auntie?"
Vir asked, as he broke the embrace and held Linda's shoulders away at arm's length. Linda snorted and flicked his forehead.
"Who shrank? You just grew up," she said, and brushed his hands off her shoulders. "And don't call me Auntie anymore. It's weird hearing it from someone taller than me."
Vir's brow wrinkled.
"Grandma?"
Linda smiled at him, and a purple fireball appeared in her hand. Grimmy laughed before blowing out the flame in her palm.
"Now, now," he said as his tail swished. "You shouldn't injure the patient the moment he wakes up. And you are old enough to be a grandma, you know. It's just that your personality hasn't let you get married yet."
Linda threw a thunderbolt at Grimmy's face. He ducked and chuckled.
"Should you really be throwing spells around with that soul rampaging inside of you?"
Linda's face paled as she trembled. She clenched her teeth, a sweat formed on her brow.
"Are you all right, Aunt Grand Lindis?" Vir asked, correcting his words as Lindis glared at him. "She's fine," Grimmy replied. "More importantly, how do you feel?"
His eyes twinkled as he inspected Vir. He leaned forward and sniffed Vir's body.
"Sore," Vir said as he looked down, "and hungry." "Let's hunt," Grimmy said and nodded. "Your ribs are showing. We need to fatten you up a bit."
Vir nodded and scrambled up Grimmy's back, while Lindis protested as Grimmy picked her up and placed her on his head. 30.
"Toffle's gotten really strong, huh?" Tina asked.
She was sitting with four other members of Swirling Wind at a booth in a restaurant. One of the members, Ruji, sighed as she slashed apart the crab on top of the table with her sword. "It's ridiculous. I get that she has 10 horns and all, but it's not fair that she's so good at swordsmanship, too," she said, and shook her head. "She actually beat me in a fight before she left yesterday." Delphina patted Ruji's back. "Doesn't that just mean you did a good job as a teacher?" she asked, as she grabbed a crab leg. Ruji made a face as she chomped on her food. "I should have been a time mage subclass, too. I wouldn't have lost then." Another member of Swirling Wind snorted. "You don't know how taxing it is to cast time magic," she said, as she ran her fingers through her silver hair. "Toffle can do it to support herself because of her abnormally large mana pool." She sighed and looked up at the ceiling. "Too bad she didn't pick it as her main class. I could have taught her so much more. I just never thought the day would come when she would get stronger than me, you know?" Ruji rolled her eyes. "She was such a tiny little thing. I wish I had half her determination." Tina closed her eyes and rested her cheek on her right hand. She shuddered as she recalled the look in Toffle's eyes when she had told her a reaper was as strong as Ver. "What are you thinking of, Tina?" Delphina asked. Tina's eyes opened. "That time she asked us to fight against that reaper alone," Tina said. "How old was she, 13? "Yeah," Ruji said and nodded. "She lost so badly that I thought she was going to give up being an adventurer at that very moment. I know I would have. But she decided to stop grouping up with us because she'd get more experience solo," Tina said. "And now she's going to challenge a reaper again, 3 years later." "You think Stacy is enough to keep her safe?" Delphina asked. Tina nodded. "Toffle would notice if we all decided to follow her," she said, as she pulled a clear crystal ball out of her bag. "And Stacy did promise to project the fight to us." Toffle took in a deep breath and exhaled while opening her eyes. She was standing in front of a rusted metal door. A blue, form-fitting robe made of spider silk was draped over her, and an orange Zweihander with black runes pulsating along the surface of the blade was strapped to her back. Her horns throbbed with a dim silver glow in time with the runes on her sword. She stepped forward and pushed open the door. Behind it, there was a circular arena bathed in a purple light. In the center of the arena, there was a single sapling with an apple growing from it. Purple barnacles grew along the walls and spectator areas. Different sections of the arena were in various states of decay. Toffle drew her sword and closed her eyes. Her horns shone with a dark green light as she swung the Zweihander horizontally. The silence in the arena was broken by a shriek as a blade of wind severed the sapling and left a meter-deep gouge in the wall across from her. The floor around the sapling cracked and trembled. Two sickle-shaped blades erupted from the yellow dirt in front of the sapling, and the tiles around the plant bulged as a large praying mantis head appeared. The broken sapling was attached to its forehead like a horn. The reaper let out a shrill cry that made Toffle wince. The rest of the praying mantis broke through the floor, and it rubbed its scythe together as it eyed the demon standing across from it. Toffle's horns glowed with a silver light as she raised her hand. Two runes, both resembling clock faces, appeared underneath Toffle and the reaper. The clock underneath Toffle spun clockwise, while the clock underneath the reaper spun counterclockwise. The reaper lunged forward, its two scythes snapping downwards towards Toffle. Toffle grimaced and dashed towards the scythes, twisting her body to avoid them. The reaper's movements were sluggish as if it were fighting underwater, but Toffle's speed had increased. She ran to one of the reaper's legs and swung her sword at its knee joint. An explosion of fire blasted out of the blade once it made contact with the reaper. It flapped its wings and retreated backwards, seemingly unharmed. Multiple wind blades crashed against the same joint before the reaper managed to defend itself with its scythes. The clock underneath the reaper's body flickered as the minute hand made a full rotation. The reaper rubbed its scythes together and stared at Toffle, wary and waiting. Toffle raised her Zweihander and stood unmoving as her horns glowed silver. A faint ring of light appeared beneath both her and the reaper, but a sonic boom resounded as the reaper's body blurred and reappeared in front of Toffle. One scythe pierced through her abdomen, sinking halfway into the floor behind her. The Reaper tilted its head as Tuffle's body disappeared. A loud crack echoed through the arena as an explosion assaulted its knee, causing it to wobble and fall to